Lord Jesus, we commit this into your hands. Would you just guide and direct every thought, every word spoken and heard? We want to just lay down anything that's in your way because we want to be wide open to you. We want to be HLBs, just hungry little birds for Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you that you want this more than us, but right now we want to bring our wills into oneness with your will. We want what you want for us. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. She said, we're made in the image of God. And God is not selfish. God is others minded. So when we are self-focused, we're miserable because we weren't made to be self-focused. So when we're worried, now think about this for your everyday life. Ask God to quicken this, make it alive to you. When we're self-focused, we're not in oneness with what we were made to be. Do you remember when we had the building? Somebody stole it from me, so yeah, they must have needed it more than me. I left it in the building, and when I came back, it wasn't there when we had the big building. Remember that block I had with all the different shapes and colors of little blocks? You know, the square. It was a little kid's thing, but God tells me to do things as kids, and maybe the adults will get it. So we had the little block. You remember?
Yeah.
And it had like circles and square and triangles. And you can only, you were made to be this shape in God. When you try to be anything else, that's not you. That's why I want to help you to find out who you are, who He made you to be. That's why we want to get you up on the lap of Daddy so that you get loved on and believed in. And then when you turn around and you look in His face, I'm going to tell you what. The first time He did that with me, I just got ruined. I looked in His face and I'm looking in His eyes and finding out how He believes in me and how He just delights in me. I'm ruined. I'm just ruined. It's like I'm ruined for life. There's nothing better than that. It's what He created us to be. When we are selfish, when we're self-focused, I need to advance at work. God taught me a long time ago, instead of me trying to get a better position at work, why don't I build other people and make them better to fill my position? Do you understand? Bring them up to where God has me. And God every time would promote me. But there was always people to fill the void. But it's like I focused on building them instead of building me. You know what I mean? God's ways are just so different than ours. And so when I talk, I want us to bring us into practical how to live God every day. Have you ever experienced God? Is there anything better than that? When I go downtown and you've heard me say it, the kids go, "What's up, man?" And I go, "Jesus." And you can't get higher than Him, so why do you try? And every time they always go, And so I just tell them about Jesus. And that's why a number of them have gotten saved. People of every kind out there. And that's what happened on Friday night. It was like there was a man, there was somebody. And by the way, the last person, the last one was Him. As soon as I met Him and sat down with Him, it was like inside of me, God said, "This is the one I was telling you about." And he needed hope, and he got hope that night. He got... And all God would basically let me say is, because he said, I go to church, but they all think I'm not saved. And I'm thinking, dude, that's what I do, is I lead people to the Lord. I'm going to help you get saved. And God's like, no, you're not. You're not going to talk to them about salvation. I'm like, I'm not. And he's like, no. He's not even a place where he can hear that, because everybody else basically attacks him with that. He said, right now, he just needs someone to believe in him. He needs someone to be his friends with no expectation, no agenda. Now think about this. So when I left him, after ministering to him, and I left him, different people that are concerned about him, Christians, but they all came to me. He got saved, didn't he? You led him to the Lord. See, they all had this agenda. They all had this expectation. They all had this thing they were trying to get him to do. And that's what people do in America. We just want to get them saved, and then let's all live at this shallow place where we don't walk with God, don't know God, but we just want to get them saved so they don't go to hell. But it's like, that's, God's not into, you know, he's not selling fire insurance. You understand? He is all about a living relationship with him. Just like you want to have with your kids. Just like you would love to have with your mates. And when we learn to have this relationship with God, then it's going to affect our relationship with others. But this relationship has got to be the way it ought to be, or this relationship will never be the way it's supposed to be. Is anybody getting what I'm saying? I mean, do you understand? Okay. I mean, I'm not making this hard, right? This is pretty easy, right? Okay, good. All right. So here we go. Open your Bibles. By the way, when we had the big church building, there was a period of time there, my wife and I were talking about it, where a group or a number of people, because God was moving, Brother Nate would be playing worship music and the team and all of that. And there was a number of people that came to me and said, Pastor, we don't need preaching anymore. Let's just don't do the preaching. Let's just have worship and let's just have the presence of God. And I said, Jesus is the Word in the flesh. I said, as long as I'm here, we're going to have preaching. Preaching is what's most important. I said, without the preaching, you wouldn't have what you think you have. I said, God's not into glee club. Okay, he's not into you feeling good, jumping up and down or falling down. What good does that do if your life doesn't change? And you will not ever, get this please, you will never continue. I don't care what experience you have with God. You go and hear these big name preachers. Oh, we had this wonderful time. Or Friday night, we had this wonderful time. If you do not have a foundation to build it on, it will not stand the test of time. And that's why you see Christians like this. Okay? And that's why they're flaky, weird, all kinds of stuff, because they're not founded on Jesus Christ, the Word of God. So we are always going to read the Word. If you do not want to be a Word person, you are not going to like it here. Because I don't care about everything. I just care what He has to say. This is what changed me. From a drug dealer to witnessing within 12 hours, because I spent 4.5 hours reading Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John as a drug dealer. And then within, let's see, that would have been 9. So within 12 hours, I'm out knocking on doors telling people about Jesus and couldn't quit talking about him for 41 years now. I've never met anybody like him. We've got to have Jesus. He is the Word of God in print. You ready? Deuteronomy 1:32. And then we're going to go to 2 Chronicles. Deuteronomy 1:32. Yet in this thing ye did not believe the Lord your God. Now this is only the preface to go into to what we're going to talk about. And then I got a bunch of verses at the end, if God lets me. Okay? But this is just, will you believe? This is just to adjust your will. Will you believe? Deuteronomy 1:32. Yet in this thing ye did not believe the Lord your God. You know what your answer ought to be? Oh me, I'm sorry, Lord. Okay? 2 Chronicles 20:20. 2 Chronicles 20:20. And they rose early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, "Hear me, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, so shall ye be established. Believe his prophets, so shall ye prosper." I've heard people, when God started bringing us Spirit-filled church and stuff, they always wanted to quote this, "Believe his prophets, so shall ye prosper." That's true. But you know what's more important? Instead of believing the messenger, how about you believe the one who's given the original message? It says, "Believe in the Lord your God, so shall ye be established, firmly founded." Believe in the Lord your God. Isaiah 7:9. Isaiah 7:9. You ready? Isaiah 7:9. "And the head of Ephraim is Samaria, and the head of Samaria is Remaliah's son. If ye will not believe, surely, truly, without a doubt, ye shall not be established." Matthew 9:28. And after that, it's going to be Matthew 21. Matthew 9:28. Matthew 9:28. "And when he..." Who do you think that was? His name was Jesus, just letting you know. "And when he was coming to the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus saith unto them, 'Believe ye that I am able to do this?' They said unto him, 'Yea, Lord.'" Remember, he went into some houses and had to kick the people out because they didn't believe, so he could like raise like Jairus' daughter from the dead. He had to get the people out who didn't believe. I've gone into hospital rooms, and there's a bunch of doubt. And I know God's wanting to pray for this person, you know, minister to them. But there's all this doom, gloom, give up, no hope, no God, you know. It's only what we can do. And I'm like, oh my word. And like, Lord. And he's like, "What do you think I brought you here for? It's all darkness. I brought the light in." He said, "Let your light shine. Just start speaking faith. Just start speaking stuff. And if they won't believe, get them out of the room. And then... those are in the room that are believing." He says, "Then we can see something happen." Okay? Matthew. Okay, I was already there. "Believe ye that I am able to do this? And they said unto him, 'Yea, Lord.'" God wants to do things in your life. You have to believe it. Do you know that God, you stop God with your unbelief? Do you know that? Do you know that you stop God by not believing? Doubt, fear, unbelief. What is he? Fear, doubt, unbelief. You need to kick those things out. You need to make that a prayer, like, often. You need to realize that spirits... okay, this is a principle, so you write it down. Every moment of every day, we are under the influence of a spirit. It is either the Holy Spirit or an unholy spirit. Okay? Every moment of every day, we are under the influence of a spirit. This is a physical world we're living in. We're going to talk about this in a little bit. The spirit world that you do not see is eternal. This is temporary. Anything you can see is temporary. I can't even see you. It's not because I'm blind. It's because you are an eternal spirit, Roger. You are temporarily living in that body, just like I'm temporarily living in this house. I'm not this house. I live in the house. You live in that body. What is real, that's eternal, you can't see. But it's what's so valuable. When he says, "I love you," just saying words, that doesn't mean. When he shows it and she feels it and she believes it, that's what does something inside of her that makes her put up with him not putting the socks where he's supposed to and putting his clothes away. And you know what I'm saying? God... I mean, I'm not picking on you, you know, even though you're guilty. I'm not picking on you, okay? Everybody's guilty. We're all... it's the real us. And God is real. And he wants us to believe in him instead of believing what we see, think, and feel. So I'm getting ahead of myself probably. Okay, Matthew 21:32. Matthew 21:32. Are you there? For John came unto you in the way of righteousness. He's talking to the Pharisees. But ye believed him not. But the publicans and the harlots. He's not talking about Republicans versus Democrats. He's talking about like a tax collector, okay? He says, those that you despise, the publicans and the prostitutes, the ones that live with people outside of marriage. He said, they believed him when he came. And ye, when you saw it, when ye had seen it, you repented not afterward that you might believe him. He said, God was available, but you weren't able to apply what he had to your life because you wouldn't believe. He said, others received, and you call them scum, and you won't have anything to do with them. He said, but they are going to enter into heaven, and you're not, religious people. You hear me? You hear me? Okay, my dad used to say, I can't hear your head nod. Okay, got to say something. All right, Mark 11:31, I forgot to tell you. The next one is John 5. Mark 11:31. And they reasoned with themselves, saying, Jesus had asked him a question. He said, John, when he came, was it of God or of men? And they reasoned with themselves. That's what we do with ourselves. We need to learn to follow the Spirit and quit trying to figure it out with our little pea brains. Why reason? Really? Your first impulse is always going to be flesh, and it's wrong. We need to learn to draw back. Father, what's the wisdom here? What would Jesus do? And they reasoned with themselves, saying, if we shall say from heaven, then he will say, why then did you not believe him? And by the way, if God put me in your life, put my wife in your life, put any person of God in your life, then why are you not believing? And believing isn't nodding your head. Nodding head, people, don't change. It's putting into practice what he prayed earlier. Help us to put it into practice, not just be hearers of the word, but doers of the word. Teach me how to do it. Okay, I'm sorry, I've got to say this. So I get in church, I'm a drug dealer, right? Of course, this is 40 years ago. I get in church, I look around, my wife tells me all these people love Jesus. We're in a church of about 250, 200, whatever it was. They all love Jesus. They're all dressed in suits and ties. You know, I'm wearing my jean jacket and, you know, trucking and, you know, my long hair and all this stuff. And so I'm thinking, okay, they must all love Jesus. But as I go up to them in their little cliques in the morning, you know, before church, they call it fellowship, but I'm going to call it cliques because they weren't fellowshipping in Jesus. And when I go up, I mean, they were talking about the Lions because our church building was about 2 miles away from, what is that place called? Silverdome. Yeah, we were about 2 miles from Silverdome. You could hear them when they had, I mean, we would still be having service and you could hear them, you know, yelling, "Rawr!" You know, all this. And they'd talk about football and hunting and all that stuff. And there's nothing wrong with all that stuff. But I just got to Jesus and got in his house. And I'm just getting in his house and looking around at the brothers and sisters and thinking, they must be as excited about him as I am. And they've been here longer, so they must know more. And they didn't. And what they had, I was hoping it wasn't contagious because I didn't want it. And I didn't want to look at my wife the way they looked at their wives, or, you know what I mean? I didn't want my kids acting toward me the way their kids acted toward them. You know what I mean? And I'm like, I don't want what they have. And I'm like, I don't get it. What was the verse so I can get back on track here? He said, why did you not believe him? I made a decision that I'm going to do whatever this Bible says. And I'm going to follow. And God put me in that church, and I knew I was in that church, so I'm going to be under authority. Because I'd been spanked every day in my life. I knew how to be under authority. It had beaten into me. I'm really glad because I needed it. I didn't like it at the time. I really didn't. You know, my dad used to say, when I'm done, you're not going to be able to sit down. And he wasn't lying, you know. But you know what? When I came to God, it was easy for me to follow this word. It was easy for me to do what it said. Because I've been taught to obey. And I made a decision right away, and this is what I'm challenging you. I made a decision. I am going to be under authority. God put me here, then this is who I'm supposed to follow. And 1 Corinthians 11:1, if you ever want to look it up, says, Paul says, be ye therefore, he's talking to the people that were following him, be ye therefore followers of me, even as I also follow Christ. And many times you've heard me say, how do you know if I'm following Christ unless you're in the book? That's why I'm taking you to the book. It's not following Harvey. It's not Harvey's version of doing it. Who cares? Harvey's going to come and go. What matters is you're here right now. Learn what you're supposed to learn. And that's to base everything on the Word of God. John 4, 23 and 24. Jesus is talking to the woman at the well and he says, God is a spirit. And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. How do you know if what somebody is saying is true? Number one, what does the Word have to say about what they're talking about? Or what does the Word have to say about what you're thinking about? Number two, and if you don't know, start reading it. Okay? And after you've read it for a while, the Holy Spirit's going to remind you. John 14, 26, you have a promise. He says this, the Comforter, which the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I've said unto you. Okay? John 14, 26. Now, number two, the Spirit. When you get saved, the Holy Spirit comes to live inside of you. The body becomes a temple of the Holy Ghost. 1 Corinthians 3:16, 1 Corinthians 6:19 and 20. Okay? Now watch. Sorry, I'm just want to get to the message and all this stuff is on me and I'm just like, feel like I'm about to bust again. Okay? So God comes to live inside of you. Romans 8:9, by the way. But you're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. Now listen to this. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of Christ dwelleth in you. Now listen to the rest of the verse. But if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, then he don't belong to Jesus. He is none of his. You got the Holy Spirit? So if you got the Holy Spirit, as soon as I got saved, remember I told you as a drug dealer, he started talking to me. I kept wondering where this voice was coming from. I wasn't hearing this voice out here, a voice inside of me. Harvey, don't do that. Harvey, do this. Where's this voice coming from? It wasn't behind the couch. It wasn't behind the chairs. I looked. I finally figured out, and I wasn't even in church, and I figured out he was inside of me. Nobody told me this. All I knew about the Holy Ghost before that was Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. That's all I knew. But now he came to live inside of me, the precious Spirit of Jesus, and he began to speak to me. How do you know if what you're believing is God or not? What does the Word of God have to say about it? And what is the Holy Spirit telling you down inside? Is it bearing witness? Is it ringing true? Do you understand? Okay? This is going to help you. If you get any one of these things, they'll change your life. Okay? I'm trying to get where we're going, but I can't help it. Just full of this stuff. You ready? He says, why then did you not believe him? Mark 11:31. If he was from heaven. John chapter 5, verses 46 to 47. Are you there? Sorry. About to bust. Hebrews 4:2 is next. Okay? John 5, 46 to 47. For had ye believed Moses, ye would have believed me. For he, Moses, the penman that God worked through to write the first five books of the Old Testament. It's called the Pentateuch. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. God worked through Moses to pen those five books. He said, for he, Moses, wrote of me, Jesus. But if ye believe not his writings, if you don't believe the Old Testament, how shall you believe my words in the New Testament? You need to read the Word. You need to base what you believe on the Word. But you need to make a choice to believe it. In sign language, are you looking? In sign language, the word for believe is this. It's a marriage of your will and your mind. It's a marriage. It's a union. Okay? We need to believe what God says. Now, this is the kicker verse. Hebrews 4:2. You ready? Hebrews 4:2. I'm going to wait till you get there. I don't want to rush at this one. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to rush through any of them. I've just got so much I want to say. It's just about to die here. Okay. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto others, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. So I get in church, I look at all these other people, and as the years went by, I don't see their lives changing. I don't see Jesus in them. I don't sense, I don't want to say I didn't sense Jesus in them, because I did. But it's like they invited Jesus and then tell him to like sit in the back seat and when I need you, I'll let you know. He's not a spare tire. He's not patchwork Jesus. He's not a tool. The word Lord, okay, I'm sorry, we're going to go over to John chapter 8, verses 30 and 31. I just got to, Lord, I thought we were going somewhere. Oops. Okay. John 8, 30 and 31. Are you ready? Talking about Jesus. As he spake these words, many believed on him. There's different levels of believers. Are you ready? Different levels of Christians. As he spake these words, many believed on him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples, my disciplined followers. Now, everybody wants to quote, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Well, look at the verses right before it. The verses we just talked about. There are people that are lost. They hear the word. Now they have a choice. They're at a Y in the road. And that's what we do all day. We come to Y's in the road. Am I going to follow the flesh? Am I going to follow the spirit? Am I going to please the world or am I going to please Jesus? Am I going to go in darkness, you know, do what I want and don't worry and hide and lie and cheat and all those other words, fudge and all those words? Or am I going to live in the truth? Am I going to follow the pathway to death or the pathway to life? I mean, there's so many, you understand, it's all black and white with God. It's not a gray area. It's not heaven, hell, and purgatory. There is no purgatory. Unless you just want to call purgatory hell, you know? When somebody receives the preaching of the Word of God and they get born again, Jesus, I'm the one. It's me who killed you with my sin. You're God. You're perfect. You never sinned. You didn't deserve to die. It's me that caused you all that suffering and pain and rejection. Jesus, would you please forgive me? His answer when we come in truth is always, I've been waiting your whole life for this day. Of course I will. So he receives us. Now somebody is born again. Now they have choices because they come to wise. Are they going to continue in his word? So you could be a Christian. You could be born again. But you're not a disciple. You could be a Christian just like I can have kids. Or in this case, grandkids that are obedient. And then there's those that are disobedient. They're still my grandkids. Do you understand? We're not saved because of what we do. We're saved because of what he did. This is not about religion. This is not some denominations I could name that they teach you can lose your salvation. Because you can lose your salvation because if you don't live and keep all the rules, you can lose it. It's a gift. I didn't deserve it when I got it. He got what I deserve. Two levels of forgiveness we'll talk about one day. The level of forgiveness that comes, that's eternal, that comes through Jesus Christ and what He did. The horizontal forgiveness is what we have to deal with every day between us and others. I'm not going there tonight, right now. When we get saved, we have a choice. Just like I tell you, when you come here, you can get off the boat anytime you want. If you ever feel like, and God just had me announce this about 6 weeks ago. If you ever feel like it's that you need to go to another church, God wants you to go somewhere else, just let us know so I can send you out with God's protection and God's blessing and God's direction. Don't just leave and be a disgruntled, mumbling person. You're going to hurt yourself and you're going to hurt Christ. You're not hurting me. You are hurting me, but God deals with that. I don't worry about that. You're hurting Him and you're hurting yourself mainly. But you're not, everybody's not supposed to be here forever. Some are and some aren't. It's a sending station. It's to prepare you to go. It's to prepare you to fulfill what God has, His plan for your, the purpose for your life. Maybe you'll always be here, but going like Nate and Leida, you know? They're like a yo-yo. They keep coming back, you know? They can't really leave, you know what I mean? It's like, but it's like they're free to go. Just like when our kids get old enough, you have to, my wife told me, you have to cut those apron strings. You can't, you've had 18, 19 years now, Harvey, to teach. He said, now, you know, you got to let them go. But I'm afraid they're going to make wrong decisions. They're like, I know, but they're going to learn that way. Don't we learn when we mess up? Isn't that a good way for us to learn? It's too bad, you know, but it's how we learn. We own those lessons, don't we? We don't own everything our parents said to us until after we go through the hard stuff, and then we can remember what they said. And, you know, why didn't I listen? I don't know, I was a knucklehead, you know? I was a rebel. And that's what you have with some people that are believers. They're rebellious believers. They will not submit to the Word of God. Oh, that's your opinion. Oh, I don't have to go to church. I can worship God in nature. You know? Oh, He didn't really mean that. Mankind should not lie with mankind. I have friends that are gay and it's okay. You know, God said what He meant what He said. You love the person, but you hate their sin because that sin is hurting them. That sin is against God, but it's hurting them. You don't hate the person. You don't condemn them. They're already, if they're in sin, they're already under condemnation. And they know it. But we don't wink at their sin. We love them in their sin. You know, we love them while they're there. But our desire is to get them to Jesus because He's going to, as Matthew 1:21 says, He's going to save them from their sin. He doesn't save people in their sin. Okay, I'll save you and you can come to heaven and live in sin. It's not like that. All right, any other questions or can I get back to my lesson? Okay, all right. Y'all just interrupted and I'm trying to answer your questions. Okay, so here we go. Is it all right? Thank you. Sorry, that's how it is. Okay, so I'm going to read some stuff to you and I want you to listen. Now later, when I'm done, you may say, as y'all do sometimes, could you send that to me by email? And I'd be glad to, but before I do, I'm going to add some verses to it. So if you want, then you come up afterwards, in a notebook, wherever, and just put your email here, and then I'll know you want it. If you don't, that's fine too. Okay, so here we go. This is what God gave me this morning and had me write down. And I know you've heard a lot of this, but I just felt like He said, this is something we need to do because, see, you get to choose what you're going to believe. We're going to talk about some things you need to believe. You ready? Out loud every day, it would help you a lot until you own this if you prayed this. Yes, Jesus, I do believe that You love me. By the way, I didn't write in here. And You love me unconditionally. You love me eternally. and you'll never give up on me. I believe that you love me with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. I believe that I am your child, Father God, because I put my faith and trust in the shed blood, the spilled blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And now, your holy precious Spirit lives inside of me, the Spirit of Jesus Christ. I believe that I am part of your family now. We weren't until we met Jesus. We were his creation, but we were not his child. Everyone is not the child of God. The Bible says you have to be born again. That means you have to be born spiritually into his family. Before that, you're only born into the physical world. You're part of his creation. Everybody is not the child of God. Okay? I believe that I am part of your family now, Father, and that you desire me to come close and hang out with you every moment of my life, and that you also now desire me to sit on your lap, leaning against your breast, with your arms around me and mine hugging you. I believe that you do love me, and you believe in me, and you have plans and desires for my life. I want to look in your eyes, Daddy, and hear all that you would want to say to me. I believe that you will never leave me nor forsake me. You are my Father, God. I believe that you want me and that you desire me. Yes, I believe that you love me greatly, and your love for me will never change, Jesus. I believe that you love me for who I am and not what I do. I believe that you have desire for me and not expectation in me. So because of that, you don't ever get disappointed in me, Heavenly Father. I believe that you do not get disappointed nor mad at me, though you do grieve and cry over me, Holy Precious Spirit. I believe that you love me with everything in your being, Jesus. I believe that you want the best for me because you're my Heavenly Papa. I believe, Heavenly Father, that you have given me your word and your Spirit to guide me and protect me and make your way very plain and clear, all for the purpose so that you can bless me in all the ways that you desire as your child, so that you can even bless me as if I were Jesus himself. And believing these things makes all the difference in my life. Thank you so much. I've got so much more to say there, but I feel like he wants us to go here. Man, we're clicking along. I've got this titled, To See God. Now, I've got a few verses, so you might want to ask that I add it on to the other email, but you can just listen or you can look them up, okay? This is to see God. Would you like to see God?
Yes.
I mean, open the eyes of my heart, Lord. I just want to see you. I was on a plane one time with Jax, but he was just a little codger, you know. He must have been 2 or something. And he was real good the whole trip. And we were starting to land. He was getting just a little fidgety or whatever. He wasn't doing anything bad or anything. I was praying, Lord, what can I do with this little Jackson? And I started humming, open the eyes of my heart, and he's humming with me. And after we started humming, I started hearing other people humming, and pretty soon I just started singing, and I don't think the whole plane sung, but a whole bunch of people in the plane sung. It was so cool. And as we were all getting up to leave, all these people are singing, "Open the eyes of my heart, Lord." And I'm like, just getting out. Jackson and I are just out, you know, singing. It was so much fun. "And it shall come to pass, while my glory passeth by," is with Moses, "that I will put thee in a clift or a crevice of the rock, and will cover thee with my hand while I pass by." Exodus 24:9-11. "Then went up Moses and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel. And they saw the God of Israel. And there was under his feet, as it were, a paved work of a sapphire stone, and as it were the body of heaven in his clearness. And upon the nobles of the children of Israel, God laid not his hand." In other words, he didn't kill them, because the Bible said no man could see God and live. "Also they saw God, and they did eat and drink." John 8:19, and it's not very far from here, like about 2 miles. "Then said they unto him, Where is thy father?" John 8:19. "Jesus answered, Ye neither know me, nor my father. If ye had known me, ye should have known my father also." John 10:30, Jesus said, "I and my Father are one." John 1:18, Jesus said, no man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. Now, we just read verses earlier that it said all these people saw God, but he laid not his hand on them. And then Jesus said, no man has seen God at any time. What do you think he means? I just thought we'd deal with it in case the devil wants to get in you and think that God's contradicting himself. So what do you think that means? In the Old Testament, Nadab, Abihu, Moses, Aaron, and 70 of the elders went up into the mount and they saw God. But Jesus said, you know, a few thousand years later, no man has seen God. What do you think that means? No man has seen God fully. No man has seen God. Remember when he said to Moses, "I will put you in a cleft or a crevice of the rock and cover you"? And he said, "And you could see my hinder parts." And he saw the glory of God go by. Let me tell you why. Because we are finite and he is infinite. He is holy and we are not. Remember Ananias and Sapphira in, what was it, Acts chapter 5? And they fell dead at the apostles' feet because they had lied to the Holy Ghost. That time is coming again pretty soon. We're going to see that in America. The glory of God, Joel chapter 2, is going to cover the face of this earth. See, people act like the way they act. There's a verse, you might want to write it down. Ecclesiastes 8:13. It says, "Because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the hearts of the sons of men are fully set in them to do evil." Ecclesiastes 8:13. Literally, Ida. Okay? Now, here we go. What that's teaching is because God doesn't just zap us when we do something wrong, because he's so merciful and loving, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance, 2 Peter 3:9. He, because of that, people think it's okay to be like they are. And so when they start taking away the rules, people get worse and worse and worse, because they try to legislate morality. Okay? That the Ten Commandments was not to legislate morality. The Ten Commandments was to give us an idea of boundaries, and it was to protect us from one another. And Galatians chapter 3, I think it's verse 24, says, the law was our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. Nobody can keep the law. Nobody can obey all the Ten Commandments. If I ask in this room, who in here has kept the Ten Commandments? All of them perfectly. Not one of you could raise your hand. I can't. I've never met anybody, except for liars, you know, self-righteous liars. But apart from them, I haven't. There was in Matthew chapter 19, remember the rich man came running to Jesus, "Good master, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" He said, "Keep the commandments." And he said, "I have." He said, "Which ones?" Jesus names them, which is the six that dealt with our relationship with God, man to man. The first four in the Ten Commandments deal with our relationship with God. Love God, honor God, remember the Sabbath day, keep it holy, da-da-da-da-da. Don't worship any other gods, okay? The last six deal with our relationship with man. Don't steal, don't covet, you know, don't commit adultery, blah, 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 okay? I find it noteworthy that God says, thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt not. I find it noteworthy. Don't you find yourself saying that to your kids more than yes? No, 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 no. Quit touching. Cat, get off table. No, you know. That's what has to happen. That's where we're at. That's our nature. It's called a fallen nature. Okay? Cats have cats, right? Dogs have?
Dogs.
And then sinners have? Huh. Let's imagine. So we all grow up. We're born in sin. Not because our parents weren't married, but it's because they're sinners, and sin is passed through the blood, and every one of us has the blood of our father. That's why Jesus couldn't have an earthly father. You see? I mean, everything is so simple, but it's all just right here, and everything makes sense. Now let's rewind and go back to where we were. Where were we? Oh, why does he say that people saw God, and then he says no man can see God and live? Because we cannot behold God in his glory, the fullness of God. We die. Because sin cannot be in his presence. And we've got sin. And it's because of Jesus who broke down that big wall between us and God, because nobody could be without sin. So Jesus came and broke down and took away that reproach and you know, cursed is him that hangeth on a tree. I think it's Galatians 3:13. And he became a curse for us so that we could be blessed in him. That's why I love him so much. What Jesus made possible in my life. It's like, I've never had anybody love me like this. I've never had anybody that would do all this, be willing to lay their life down. And that's why when we went there on Friday night, you saw what you saw. It wasn't Harvey, this wonderful guy. It was every one of us saying, I want to die to my way. And I just want to release Jesus here. Now, maybe your part was to pray as we walked around. Maybe your part was to help people, you know, serve the food and get things for people and get a little chair. And maybe it was to pray for healing for the guys with the broken arms that we talked to. Maybe it was to find the people, like, who was it? Andrew? And he first findeth his own brother Peter and saying, come, we have found the Christ. We have found the Messiah. Maybe you were just supposed to come to me, as some of you did, and say, I think you're supposed to talk to that one. And so then I did. But every one of us was doing our part. And every one of us, our part was to die to our will. To us being seen. That he could be seen. Can you see Jesus? It's like to get him to Jesus. Because that's what everybody needs. That's what everybody wants. They may not know it. Because we as Christians have dropped the ball. We've turned it into formula, turned it into having a nice experience. It blows me away when you go to church and they start clapping. Are we performing? Is this about a show? I'm sorry, I'm not mad at you. It's not that you have to do things my way, but what's behind it? Yeah, what spirit? Is this about a show? And so I see America going to hell in a hurry, and I see people not wanting to hear about God, and people being rebellious, because when you leave the foundation of truth, I ask people this question all the time. Now, don't write this down, because if you get this inside of you and you start asking people, it's going to really rock some people in your life. So don't just listen to it. Let me get it out of my system. But don't get it inside of you, because if you started doing this, it just messed people up, okay? And you just want to go around being nice little warm fuzzy, don't you? Okay, so don't learn this, okay? You know what I'm saying, Calvin? Don't learn this, okay? It goes like this. I ask people all the time, so what is the foundation of your beliefs? And whatever your foundation is, will it stand the test of time? And when I ask that to people that think, now a lot of people don't think. They just hear you in a bobblehead. You know, let me grab my electronic thing so I can be entertained some more. Okay? I don't want to think. But I've asked that to some guys recently. Where was I? They were young men. Oh, I know where it was. And one of them goes something like, wow, man, that's heavy, like, wow. And I'm like, I said, well, you're coming here with flapping your, you know, I didn't say it this way. I was kind, but can I just be quicker? I said, you're coming here flapping your jaws with all your opinions. What are you basing that on? But I didn't say that to him, because all I was witnessing to somebody else. And he just came up because all these friends of his started coming up. And I'm not embarrassed. You don't get embarrassed. You get embarrassed. I'm not getting embarrassed. I'm talking about Jesus. I'm hanging out with him. Truth doesn't embarrass me. Even if you bring up the truth about me, I'll just confess it. You're right. Would you pray for me? Because I don't want that in my life anymore. Sorry I'm like that. But I'm a work in progress. God hadn't given up on me yet. I'm so thankful for the blood of Jesus. I don't need to defend myself and point out my faults. I'm giving you permission right now. Now listen, I told this to my kids. I've told this to you. But I'm telling it because there's some new ones here. You can say anything you want to us if you say it in the right time, in the right attitude, right spirit. Okay? You can say anything you want. Some of you have yelled. Some of you have questioned and whatever. That doesn't rock me. For some reason, it rocks other pastors that I talk to, because when I ask them questions, or when I used to ask my pastors questions, or even in Bible college, I used to get in trouble because they would be teaching stuff and I'd say, excuse me, you said this, but what about this verse? And what about this verse? And I'd give them about 3 or 4 or 5 verses, and the teacher would go, really? What? That's in there? And I'm thinking, what are you standing up in front of the Bible college teaching me, and you don't even know what the word says? You know what I mean? And I'm sorry, I was a smart mouth. Hopefully I'm a delivered smart mouth, you know. Hi, my name's Harvey. I'm a smart mouth. Hi, Harvey. Nice meeting you. We're all smart mouths too. Yeah, I know. Okay, so I'm sorry. AA. But anyway, I'm sorry. So I said to him, what? So I'm talking about foundation of beliefs. God just was leading. And these guys walk up and I say to one of them, so what is the foundation of your beliefs? I said, why do you do what you do? Where did you get it from? And will your beliefs, the foundation of your beliefs, stand the test of time? I said, it might be all fun now, drinking and partying and doing your thing. I said, but what about when you're alone at night and you got all those thoughts and you're wondering who really is your friend? And what do you do with all the stuff in your life you have to deal with? I said, what is the foundation of your beliefs? Now see, that was all I could say to a few guys. That was all God let me say. That was all I got to say in a 2-day period at a meeting we were at. But there's another one. He's still talking to me and asking me questions and beginning to read the Word, because every day I tell him, I say, have you spent time with Jesus today? I said you want Jesus in your life. Well, he's the Word. Is he in your life today? The Bible never contradicts itself. But sometimes it'll seem like it. There's a place in Proverbs you will find where it says this. Answer not a fool. I don't know the reference, right, tell you. Answer not a fool according to his folly, lest thou be found like unto him. Another, the very next verse says, answer a fool according to his father. Answer not a fool according to his folly, lest thou be like unto him. Answer a fool according to his folly, lest he be wise in his own conceits. So I took it to my preacher in front of people in church, right? Like right before church or right after church. I said, preacher, you know how you get me to read the Bible? Well, I'm reading the Proverbs and it says these two things. You said it doesn't contradict itself, but look what it says. Answer not a fool. And then here it says, answer a fool. And my preacher just stood there quiet. And my preacher just stood there looking at me. This is probably close to 40 years ago, right when I got in church, you know. He just stood there looking at me. It was quiet. I said, well, preacher, what does it mean? It says answer not a fool and then answer a fool. He says, I'm practicing one of them right now. I said, thank you for putting me in my place and being smart mouth. I said, you're my pastor. Could you help me? No, he just was going to make fun of me in front of people. That's okay. I already forgave him. And then I had to go to God because he wouldn't give it to me. And God helped me to understand. There's a time you answer and there's a time you don't answer. There's a time it doesn't do any good to open your mouth. They're a fool. They can't hear. You know that word I don't like? That S word? Rhymes with stupid. Okay? There's some people just are have a stupid spirit. They're unreasonable. They cannot hear. They're full of their own thoughts. And they're in a trap and they don't even know it. But they're all full of blah, 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 blah. You see, if you read the news any day, you can see a whole bunch of them and hear them. Do we want to see God? John 14:7. If Jesus said, if you had known me, you should have known my Father. Like, do you know him? And how much do you know him? How close? Because I can't do a little bit of Jesus. I've got to have him. And from henceforth, he says, ye know him and have seen him. John 14:9-11. Jesus saith unto him, have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that has seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself. But the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. John 14:20-21. At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father and ye in me. I'm sorry. I don't want to rush this. At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father and you are in me, Jesus, not me, but you know, and I, Jesus, am in you. Man, when I got that truth, that Jesus is in me, Jesus, my Creator, my Savior, the perfect one who lived perfect in the flesh, the one who, he lives in me. It's like, so I started looking at my belly, talking to my belly. Some people thought, you know, my mother-in-law and her friend, they were visiting some people down in Florida, and they went to pray for the food. You know, the people served the food. And the other people just started eating, and my mother-in-law and her friend bowed their heads, and they just prayed quietly, right? So the next meal, and they had a little girl, so the next meal, they brought the food out and the people started eating. The little girl said, wait a minute, let's watch them talk to their plates. That was her perception. And I and you. Now watch this. He that hath, he that already has my commandments and keepeth them. Uh-oh, he's getting ready to give us a promise. He it is that loves me. He said, that person loves me. Who is that? Those that have my commandments and keep them. That word keep means to guard. It means to keep your eye on them. It means to let them temper your life. It's not about trying to keep rules. If you don't get anything out of today, I'm sorry. I wish you'd get a whole bunch out of today. But this one, I'm sorry. How many times have I said it? If you could just get this one thing, you know, but I can't help it. It's like all these thoughts through the years. It's like they're just, any one of them will set you free, and they have for me. And it's like, yeah, I'm about to bust just on the one thought. You ready? It's not about trying to keep the rules. It's about, I want your fellowship. I don't want to pick on you because I've already picked on you. Okay, so it's like, here a minute. Oh, sit still a minute. Okay. So it's like, here. So it's like, I just want your fellowship. And I want to know what you think. I want to know what you think. And I want to know what you feel. And if you don't like something, I don't want it. And if you want this, even if I don't like it, okay, I want what, because I want you. I just want to be with you. So what are your thoughts? What are your, how do you feel about something? What's important to you? It's not about, it's a relationship. Isn't that what, is your testimony before you came here, you knew God saved, we're in church, but you didn't have victory? Is that basically it? Yes or no? Okay, I'm sorry. If I'm not trying to put words in your mouth or something. Is that not kind of like your testimony when you came into our lives,
right,
when we had the building?
Right.
Okay? And then what happened was that you learned how much He loved you, and then you just started getting into this. Your focus became His presence. And we just taught you how to hang out with Him. And then it revolutionized your life. And now everywhere you go, He just gets loose, right?
Right.
And you learn to live in peace. And you still got problems and things in your life. And right. But it's like, now you have victory because your focus is His presence. And you're just hanging out with Him. And right?
Right.
Okay? It's all simple. It's so simple. We mess it all up. Because we have the wrong focus. Our focus, I talk to preachers, pastors, and they try to have services that will please everybody. So they have to water everything down, and they got to have a rock band or something come, and let's entertain them, and let's have softball teams, and let's cater to their flesh, let's make them feel good, and let's do things the way the world... How does the world do it? They even study how rock bands and stuff, and then they try to incorporate it in the church. And then we wonder, why is America like it is? Why are churches... And I'm not mad at anybody. I am not mad at any church out there that names the name of Jesus Christ. But I'm saying, we need to get back to what God's focus. And His... He says, our focus needs to be His presence. Okay, so we're going to stop right here. You're going to open your Bible to Matthew 22, 36 to 40. Matthew 22, 36 to 40. So I got to find it too. Okay, just because I want to read it word perfect. Am I there yet? Listen to her. You'd think she'd been coming here for a while. She already jumped into this thing. All right. Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, he's drawing a cross now in the sand. Watch. It's real simple. He said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, your mind, your will, your emotions, and with all your mind, all your thinking. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as you learn to love yourself. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Treat them the way you want to be treated. And then he says, on these, verse 40 to me is like just huge. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. The rest of the Bible is details of how to live. He said, but if you don't get this, you've missed my focus. He said, my focus is the cross. See, everything in the Bible comes back to the cross. It's about our relationship with God. That's why you got to get born again, because before that you're not even connected to God. So now you get connected to God, and now you learn, start learning truths. He's my daddy. And he'll never leave me. I mean, like all these things, just like I told you, heard me on Friday night. The reason I got into drugs, I was so hurting. I didn't have all these needs met. I didn't know how to deal with life. I had all this pain. And I would turn to my folks and turn to others, and nobody seemed to have the answers. And when I went to church, it's just learning all this stuff. But they didn't get me to Jesus. And so they all kept baptizing me. Okay, I've done that. Somebody should have got a clue. That's why on Friday night when that young man said, everybody just keeps trying to get me saved, I'm like, oh, I'm thinking, oh, God, do you want me to deal with him about that? He's like, no. He needs you to let him know, I will be your friend. I'm sorry that others have done that to you. I'm sorry they make you feel like you're less, or you have to do something, or you're not doing something right. He said, I even changed the name of my rap band to God Bless, because I just want to bless. I just want God to bless people. He said, so I changed my rap band's name to God Bless. And God said, let him know. He said, I want you to be his friend with no agenda, not trying to get him to do something or go somewhere, no strings attached. I will just be your friend. And you may think, is that important? Well, when I was done talking about that, God had me. I thought we were done. I was about to walk away, and God said, say this. I said, you. And I didn't say God said, but God did say for me to say it. But I'm just simple, and I just do what he says. I don't have to, God said, and get out of my face. Okay? It's just let him say what he wants to say. And I said to him, you are not alone. And when I said that, he put his head down, and I could hear him start to weep. And God said, say it again. I said, you are not alone. And the dude just started bawling. This was the guy that was about to end his life. God was telling me all week. Now, all these other people, they were concerned about him, but all they could think was, did you let him, the Lord? Because we saw he did something over there with you. No, I didn't go over there with an agenda. I went over there and said, and this is what you need to say, God, I am available unto you, and I'm willing. He wants to flow through you right where you are. When you go to talk to your kids, you already have what they need. You don't need to know more. You just need to be available and willing. Do you understand that? Yes. Available to God and willing to say or do whatever he wants. On Friday night, did I do the same thing with everybody, or was everybody different? Every single person. I felt God loving these people. He had me speak. I get done. I'm like, what now, Lord? And I just felt like he was saying, you remember that person? Well, they're here. And I knew what he was talking about, the person that was thinking of ending their life that night. But it wasn't like, go find them. It was just like, be aware that they're here. And so I'm like, well, what do you want me to do? He said, just go around and love people. Just walk around. And I've never met a stranger. And God said to me, just like he says to you, will you let me love others through you? Will you let me agape, godly love other people through you? And I said, I thought I was, but obviously I must not, or you wouldn't be drawing my attention to this. So, yes, Father, I'll let you love others through me. And when I said that, he thought I meant it. So everywhere I go, I find myself loving people, but it's not me because I'm selfish just like you are. But I don't want to live selfish. I don't want to live to please this. Do you understand? Is anybody getting this?
Yeah.
I want to please him. I want to bless him. And so I walk up to the first person and I'm joking with people. I'm crying with people. I'm laughing with people. I mean, one after another, it was like joke, laugh, cry, hug. I mean, it was just like every, and it was, I was just so aware of God loving people, but I wasn't aware of him loving the group. I was so aware of him loving each individual person. And every one of them had different. I didn't hug every one of them. I didn't joke with every one of them. I didn't weep with every one of them. I didn't laugh with every one of them. I didn't give a word to every one of them. I did all those things, but as God led, different people needed different things. They don't need cookie cutter formula religion. They don't need to join your club. There's somebody I'm ministering to right now. I believe God wants them here, but I keep telling them, you don't need to come here. Because if they come here, it's going to be a lot of work on us. And I told him so. I said, because you got all these things you already think you know. And I said, you're going to be a hard person to deal with. Should I sugarcoat it? Let's vote on it. Should I sugarcoat it and just say what he needs to say and mamby-pamby with him? I'm sorry. Take your vote. Do whatever you want with it, but it's not going to affect me because I'm not going to do that. I'm going to tell you the truth. I'm going to tell you what God tells me to tell you. And it's taken a long time of knowing him before I could even say that to him because he wasn't ready. Just like that guy that was going to do away with himself wasn't ready to hear anything but, I will be your friend if you need a friend. If you need somebody to talk to, I said, I know you probably think I just talk a lot, and I do, but I even can listen. You know, I said, I've got two ears. Imagine that. I can listen. I said, and I feel like God wants me to give you me as a gift. To just be your friend. I said, you don't have to do anything. I'm not trying. I said, I live in Grand Rapids and you live in Grand Ledge. I'm not trying to get you to join our club and follow me or do anything. I just, if you'd like somebody that would care about you. And maybe there's things you want to talk about and bounce some ideas off and stuff. I said, if not, maybe we'll just hang out. People need Jesus. Is Jesus in you? So he's in one of you. Is Jesus in anybody else in here? Four of you? Five? Was that five? Six? Is he in anybody else?
I hear seven.
Do I hear seven? That's right. Seven. How about all? Is Jesus in all of you?
Yes.
So think about what I'm going to say. Jesus is in you. Do you know why they call over in Israel the Dead Sea? Do you know why they call it the Dead Sea? Because it only receives and it never gives. It has no outlet. Just like you said. Just like he just said. And that's a lot of Christians. They're just receiving bobbleheads. We love our preacher. Yes, sir.
I just wanted to say something that we all taught us. Jesus never gives us anything to hold on to.
Right. We first have to own it for ourselves. But I'm going to tell you what, if you want more of what he's given you, give away what he's already given you. You are going to, I'm just telling you, you're going to OD on him. I'm just telling you, you are going to get so addicted. I mean, he's better than chocolate. I like chocolate kisses. You like chocolate kisses? I love chocolate kisses. He's better than chocolate. Give away. And you don't got to figure it out. Just tell him, I'm available. Can you say that? I'm available to you, Jesus.
I'm available to you, Jesus.
And I'm willing, Jesus. It's that simple. It's that simple. Lord, you are so cool. And I know I've got so much more. I didn't even hardly get through the list, Lord. There's so much more. You are so cool. Lord, thank you. Thank you for surrounding me with HLBs. Thank you for people that are available and are willing. And I pray we would never be the same from this day forward. I pray that we would just draw so close to you because you want to draw close to us. But Lord, we have to be willing to open up to you. We have to be willing to walk into what you've already given us. Because in your light, we see more light. It's always progressive light is. And Lord, just commit each one of these dear folks into your hands. I ask that you would protect them, oversee them, overwhelm them with your love. Help them to recognize the lies of the enemy or stinking thinking that they have in themselves, and that they would break agreement with those things and begin to believe how you see them and what you say about them and how you love them. And they would begin to believe your love and believe your word and enter more and more and more. Every one of us. It's not like they just need it. Lord, I need it. And Lord, I just commit each one of us into your hands. I love that verse. It says, unto a faithful creator. I can trust you. Because I don't know how to do any more than what we're doing. I don't know how to get there any better. But you know how to get us there. And I just say, thank you, Jesus, that we can trust you. You're incredible. Amen.